welcome back to the Inside Show podcast. I really did not think we'd be making this joke as long as we have been doing this every 2 weeks, but it looks like we're here to stay. This is episode 414. As always, I am joined by Brian from his house in New Jersey.
Yep, we were built for this.
Yep, nothing different for us. It's fun listening to as many podcasts as I do that are usually like in person in the same room as somebody else or like live on a stage, and everybody's like adapting and weird doing things over video. I'm like, fucking amateurs. We've been doing that forever.
It's like, how else do you do a podcast?
Yeah, 9 years strong of not being in the same room, and when we are, it's weird. So
it's true. We have the opposite
problem. And the audio quality goes down when we're in the same room.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But, yeah. Well, theoretically, it should be a little better these days with you tracking your own audio and us mashing it together. Not that we've heard any response on that yet, but theoretically, it's an improvement over the way we've done it for the past 8.5.
At the same time, I've never heard anyone complain.
It's true. People are very forgiving on audio quality. As long as you're not chewing into the microphone, usually you can get away with just about anything.
Well, also, not to go too far into it, but, like, how much would you rip this or post it, like, how much does it get compressed?
I mean, it's like taking something from an ALAC to a 256 or 320 MP3.
Okay, I didn't know if it was even, like, lower quality than that.
No.
That's the truth.
No. No, it's, I mean, they're still relatively decent streaming quality. They're large files, but, yeah, it's not like, you know, there's no such thing as an audio files podcast. I'm sure that's subject matter of many of them. But I don't think anybody's producing, like, you know, that shit you want to press to vinyl.
No, I didn't. That would be horrible. I just didn't know if it went down, like, to, like, 128 or something like that, or something much lower than we'd want it at, because I still don't really listen to podcasts, so.
You? No.
Despite,
you know, that would be fun to send off. You know, there's all those, like, custom print-on-demand vinyl shops. It'd be really funny to press, like, episode one. Okay, just fucking cuz.
We should press episode 100, where it's probably the lowest quality because there's 8 people on the call.
Yeah. How about we never do any of
that? That'd be hilarious.
Anyways, we're back here to do what we always do, which is discuss new music. Some bands are still putting some out, thank God. Shit hasn't gotten too desperate or weird yet, so we've got 4 albums for you this week, as well as a new Black Label band label that we'll be dipping into in a little bit. All of these are return customers for us, I believe. Yes, all of them. So we're starting off with the biggest release of the past couple weeks, and that is Black Dahlia Murder with their latest Verminous out on Metal Blade. This is their 9th album and our 3rd time covering them. And frankly,
it's our 4th time.
You're right. See, I got 3 because I looked through how many times we'd covered them before and I went with that number, but it should be that number plus 1. Huh? Yeah. Math. Yeah, I am pretty much out of things to say about this band that I haven't said before. I don't get the appeal or the hype of them. I never have, and I think now 9 albums in, 4 albums covering on the show, I think I just never will. It's technically proficient, but to me it is utterly unmemorable or interesting. There is nothing groundbreaking about really any of it that makes me want to go back and spin any of it again when it's over. Every time I listen to it, I'm kind of just waiting for the end. And that's not really where you want to be with an album. And I went back and checked out other reviews that I've given things and spun a couple select songs from other things. And, like, there's small tweaks in production and general, like, development of stuff, but nothing ever drastically different or anything that sells me really hard on, like, a direction shift that the band is going in that makes me be like, oh, I get it now. It's never clicked, and I think at this point it's safe to say it never will. This is just not a band that I give a shit about. So for technically proficient merits, I'm going to end up giving it a 3 like all of the other ones, but I can already tell you I won't be revisiting this. I just don't give a shit.
Huh. I mean, I get they are consistent to a fault. There are ones I do go back to. I go back to Ritual the most. I still stand, even with Verminous, that is by far their best album. I'm also a fan of Unhallowed, their first one, where they had a little bit more of like a metal chorus, death chorus vibe going on in their songwriting. And Nocturtle is, I think, where they really took a turn into being more technically, showing off their technical proficiency more, and they've stuck with that a little too hard. For some reason, I gave Everblack, Abysmal, and Nightbringers all fours. And in my head, as I'm listening to this, I thought I would have given them all threes, because I don't go back to any of those. I'm actually... So when we're recording this, we're usually listening to the music we're reviewing. Right now, though, I'm actually listening to Nightbringers, because I didn't get to do that earlier. And I guess each of them on their own is, to me, technically worthy of a four. They're solid albums, but I don't... They end up lacking the memorability going forward, which is why they should have threes. Obviously, I can't go retroactively change that, but where Verminous improves mildly is, A, there's a more dynamic production compared to at least the last two albums. I think it's a little wider sounding. It's actually quieter, so you can turn up louder, but you get... All the instruments are separated more. There's much more dynamic within the mix to hear everything. And the writing on this album, again, while consistent with previous releases, has more melody to it, closer to what Ritual brought. And that's what makes this stand out to me a little more than the last few. Does it have the memorability of what I got off of Ritual? I actually would need to spend a little more time with that for it to do that. I think it does. And it's funny. Most reviews I read echoed what you said, Nick. Like, hey, it's their ninth album. They're doing their thing. It's really good. If you like their other ones, you'll like this. And that's generally true. But it's, to me, it's the subtle differences of adding that melody to it that they desperately needed. I think Abysmal was lacking it a lot more than Nightbringers was, and I think it's a bit more prominent on Verminous, and the writing is a little more diverse throughout the album, whether it's slowing things down a little more, getting a little more of a thrashy pace, or having the melody actually stand out more. But what all the songs lack in that regard is a chorus hook. The last time we got one really that I remember is on Everblack with Raped in Hatred by Vines of the Thorn, which is not one we wanted stuck in our head. I still remember discussing that very much. Yeah. So if they had a little more of that, well, better wording, but more of that in a couple of these choruses, I might have instantly said, yes, this is the most memorable. I still think it's the best since Ritual. I think they're stronger when they have a little bit more melody in them. It, like I said, this other stuff kind of bleeds together a bit and becomes forgettable. I think it all translates well live, and that's where the band really shines for me. Trevor's a great frontman. The band has a ton of energy. When you're picking and choosing songs off of each of these albums, they work really well in a set together. But I can't really argue with your thoughts on it. I mean, I totally get it. I think they're a band I want to like a little more than I do, and they're just not letting me do it. In the end, I'm going to give Verminous a 4, but like I said, I gave all the other ones a 4. So this being a little better but not quite the 5 I want makes sense, but I also feel the other one should have been a 3 for me because they are ultimately forgettable.
Yeah, we are very consistent on our take on this band, which still begs the question on a larger scale, not just like your opinion of them or my opinion. Why is this like the most representative band when you go to a metal show? Everybody has a Black Dahlia tee in their catalog, and I don't get why. I feel like, you know, it's this and Slayer t-shirts are the two band logos you see most in the world, and like I've never, other than you and your defense of Ritual, I've never met somebody who's like, dude, Black Dahlia Murder. Oh my fucking God. Like, but everybody bought a t-shirt at some point in time. And I just don't get it because I don't see the appeal.
I think my brother-in-law is actually the closest to that Black Dahlia Murder. Oh my God. Fan Bob. He loves the band. I think This is just pure speculation, but yeah. I think they are a great entryway to, like, much heavier death metal, because especially if you got in on Unhallowed or you look at something like Nocturnal or Ritual, they are just a little more accessible. They're technically melodic death, but, like, in the true sense of form, there's a little bit more melody in their death metal. I also, and so, like, from there, you can get into more straightforward or heavier. Like, it's a good access point. And I also think their marketing, really. Not just marketing, like, promotion in general, the tours they've been on. Because they can go out with Cannibal Corpse, and they can also go out with something lighter than that. I think I saw them with Bodom. Actually, I definitely saw them with Children of Bodom once. But, like, you're not going to see Deicide go out with Children of Bodom. You could see, you will see them. So, like,
that's
their
fair.
Writing rides out that middle ground and make it much more accessible. I think
so. Their ability to only write threes of an album allows them to land on a tour package with just about anybody, because you can mold it into any form.
Well, it's not just threes of an album. It's the style of having that little bit more of melody or accessibility. And again, when starting out with a bit more of a core sound, got them into a deathcore scene. I mean, Unhallowed came out in 2004. So, like, that was like the height of metalcore. And where deathcore was first coming into formation. So the Black Dahlia Murder got in on the ground floor of that. They developed in something much more normal death metal than core based, but I think that helped too.
Okay. Well, I guess see them live. Let us know what you think of the band. I will forever be unswayed by them. We're going to play the song Removal of the Oaken Stake for you. It's off Black Dahlia's latest, Verminous. Check it out. We'll be right back.
So that was Removal of the Oaken Stake by Black Dahlia Murder. It's off their latest album, Verminous. Let us know what you think of the album and the band in general. And also, side note, for this is probably posted elsewhere on the internet, but for anyone that uses Apple Music, Trevor did a track-by-track breakdown on the album. So if you go to the album within Apple Music and just expand the write-up, you'll see him talk about every track and the theme of the album and such. And it's, I read through some of it before the show, and it was interesting. So I don't know if it'll sway your opinion, but it's worth going through. Probably better than reading through the lyrics, let's be honest. Something else I'm not sure I want to read the lyrics to, but enjoy the music, is Benighted. They put out their ninth album, Obscene Repressed, out on Season of Mist. If you recall, I love Necrobreed, and that came in pretty high on my year-end list back in 2017. Jesus. It's a band I've always enjoyed, starting back when I got Identistic, like, randomly at a record store because it was suggested to me to do so. In a similar way, I love Misery Index, of their blend of death and grind, where they play a little more to the grind in the core aspects of it and taking, let's say, American death metal. Benighted play a little more to the gore grind aspect of doing death grind. And you still get a lot of slammy grooves and crazy vocals and stuff, and it just works for me. I love Necrobreed because it took the brutality to a new level. The songwriting was so much tighter than some of their others. Like, Icon, back from 2007. Good lord. Time.
Right?
That's probably their other favorite of mine after Necrobreed, though there's songs on some of the early works I love. And, you know, I gave Carnivore Sublime a 4. Obscene Repressed, I think I like just as much as Necrobreed, though it is slightly different in, it feels gorier, though equally as violent, but it's more fun, dare I say. There's a certain levity in the way it's written, how I guess the bounce in a lot of the grooves and the fact that it graphically is so over the top, like they're just kind of owning it even more than it feels on Necrobreed. But these guys have, pardon the pun, found their groove. Like, they work so well together, just the rhythm sections in lockstep, the way they can change pacing on a dime, the vocals go from pig squeal accents to brutal grunts to somewhat intelligible growls. Like, it's all over the place. And even throw it up, no, mixed up more when you, on a track like Implore the Negative, where you bring in Jamie Josta as guest vocals, which, as much as I like Kate Breed and Jamie Josta, it seems like an odd choice. It does bring a very different tone to the track, and as a contrast to the general vocals there, but I think this is an excellent album. And I was like this close to finally buying Necrobreed and then maybe this on vinyl, though I haven't done that yet. But this is a band I can continuing to enjoy. Whereas another comparison I wanted to make is Aborted. I feel like the two of them are on this very similar trajectory, where Aborted is actually becoming more technical, like Benighted's aspects are, but they're losing some of the slam, but getting the real heaviness there, where Benighted is actually getting a little more of that slam, though vocally they can be very similar. Being from the same region, I think they've guested on tracks together and such. But the gory lyrics and the kind of slimy production, not slimy is not the right word. There is a
wet.
Yeah, there's a wet wetness to the
that's the word.
Where it kind of comes together and it reminds me of that, but whereas Aborted started losing some of the groove, Benighted brings it back twofold. So it's another
yeah
for me.
Yeah, I feel like the difference, I guess, between the two more comes to a vocal delivery than much else. I mean, they're equally like schlocky gore themed, but it's less pig squeals and grunts in Aborted's delivery, which makes it a little bit more accessible to me. Musically, you know, as you said, they kind of are two sides of the same coin. But I tend to always favor Aborted, and looking through my, you know, ratings of them in the past, Benighted has always gotten threes, and Aborted for the most part has gotten fours. And that's, I mean, that's the difference. Yeah. We know I hate pig squeals, and we know I hate grunting shit. And that is a lot of what you get. A song like Employ the Negative for me, though Jasta is a weird choice, is like so much better. you have so much more like straightforward in like intelligible metal vocals mixed with the grunty squealy stuff. I mean, and there is a pretty diverse vocal performance throughout here, but having it be like a more straightforward core that then uses that as accent versus the other way around is like night and day difference in my enjoyment level of the tracks. I mean, I can go to this album and just be like, okay, this one has too much pig squeals, this one's too grunty, this one works for me, this one has too, like,
right,
you know, it's very like track by track, I can easily pick it out. And like all of the music is good, all of the writing is really talented, like as we've always said about these guys. But it's just like, if there's one thing that I still hang on to that has not changed since we started doing this show, it's you lose me at squeals and grunts. Like that is the one vocal style that I have really not been able to make any headway into appreciating. Like, I still don't like power metal, but I can tolerate that one if the music is good enough. This still takes me out of it almost instantly. But all of the instrumental sections, which thankfully there's a fair amount of on here, are great and very interesting, and it's still very worth listening to. But it just, it's like one step away from being something I can honestly say I really enjoy.
See, it's funny because squeals and grunts, I like how they do it as more accent points. It's not the main vocal. When that is the main vocal and it's literally just unintelligible noises, I can't do that. But here, right, to me, it, again, it's more punches in places than being the main vocal. But
yeah, and I will say, I think there was less of it on this than there was on Necrobreed. Because, mm-hmm, like, you know, every time we're going to review a Benighted album, I'm kind of like, all right. like that was one of those things that, you know, if I wasn't doing this show with you, they are not a band I would review.
Mostly. Fair enough.
You know, it's a concession because I know how much you enjoy them. But I will say, even at, like, first spin of this album, I surprised myself by enjoying it more than I thought I would. And I think there either I just know it's coming and I'm ready for it now, or there might have been a little bit less of that vocal style on this than the past couple that we've covered. Whatever it is, either way, I found myself able to get into a bit more than I have in the past. I still think I'm going to land on a three for it because it's just not...
Right.
It's not Nick Mutant.
No.
Like, this is super duper solid. And if you're into the more schlocky, grindy thing, like, as you clearly are, this is great. Like, this is exceptional, for sure. It's just, it's still a little bit of a bridge too far for me, and I can't quite get there.
Fair enough.
I'm trying, but I can't quite get there. So.
Just like we found in death metal in general, there's going to be that one album that you're like, yes. And honestly,
yeah,
if I had to speculate at this point, it's going to be Ingested.
Oh, yeah, right. I completely agree with you. They're doing something a little different, going in a bigger direction than either of the other two bands we're talking about here. And yeah, I totally agree. That last EP, I think I gave a five.
Yeah.
So yeah, if they can put out an album on par with that, then yes, that will be the one.
Yeah.
For sure.
We'll see if it takes you into like the rest of the, you know, style, but...
Yeah, right. It'll be interesting to see if it's like, oh, I get it. Now let me go explore these other bands.
Right.
You know, like Skeleton Witch did with like the Blackened Death thing that I never got before that. Once Serpents Unleashed came out, I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
I get it. Right. Let me go explore a whole bunch of bands that I'd written off before.
Right.
And maybe that'll happen. I hope it does. But I'm not quite there yet. This is still a three for me. It's really solid. Listen to Brian's review. If you're into this type of thing, for sure, check it out.
All right, and that's a five for me. So, again, nice average of a four for Obscene Repressed by Benighted. It's out now in Season of Mist. Check out the song Smoke Through the Skull.
Smoke from his skull! Skeleton!
right, that was Smoke Through the Skull from Benighted off their latest Obscene Repressed. Next up, we have the latest from Worm with their album Colony Collapse out on Prosthetic. This is our third time covering these guys. And if you don't know by now, this is like unrelenting, slammy grind. It's just dirty, brutally heavy stuff. And as Brian and I kind of discovered while trying to pick out a song to play, they've always walked that line of doing just like really thick, heavy, breakdown laden stuff and also grindy blast beats. But we were struggling to find an example off this album that was both in one song, to give you kind of a cross section as an example, in case you're not familiar. But for the most part, the way this album tracks and flows, you get one or the other, which still works because the songs are all, you know, a minute long. So you're never going a long time without one.
Right.
But I didn't really notice when listening to it all week that they were all separate songs when it switched styles and genres. And I'm not sure if that helps or hinders my impression of it, because I thought they were doing a really good job working these two genres and styles together, but in reality they're separate tracks for each one, separated by incessant guitar feedback, which is always a little bit of a detractor, but also extremely common within the genre that we're covering here. Every song starts with like the squeal for the intro, where a snare drum counts to four and then the band goes haywire. And that is like part and parcel with what we're talking about here. But all of that being said, this is fun. This is real heavy. This doesn't let up. This has no breathing room in it whatsoever. And it comes to take no prisoners and fuck shit up. And it definitely, definitely does that. It's a little less than half an hour of just, you know, grindy head slams and crazy beatdowns. And if that's what you're in for with, like, again, this kind of really caustic production, then this is going to fill the bill for that. It works really, really well. I don't know that there's a lot of growth between, especially from the last EP. It kind of follows the Can You Hear the Wind Howl trajectory pretty well. But if it's a sound you're into, which it is a sound that Brian and I are into, this works. There's not really a ton more to say about it because it's pretty straightforward in what you get. But it's solid. And if it's something you're in the mood for, this works quite well.
Yeah. You know, I think I found this band around the same time I found Wake.
Yeah.
And I always, at one point I was really confusing the two of them. But I also feel like now they play really good counterparts to each other. Where especially
they've become very different.
Right, exactly. So where Wake has grown into what we wanted Tombs to be, Worm's like, nah, bro, we're going to continue to grind. And if anything, they've actually thrown in more breakdowns into the sound than we've heard from a couple of the past releases. And while that may end up being most of a song, as Nick said, it's not, the variety may not be within a track, it still works because the songs are so short. This is definitely, you know what, I'm going to take that back. I was about to say this is an album worth listening to as an album versus per song, but that's not necessarily true. It just depends on what you want. You have to be selective when you're picking. Because a song like Anti-Democracy, Locust Breath, or Thorn Palace really just focus on the slamming breakdowns, and they hit hard. And the production on this is loud and thick, but still clear enough to hear the instruments as opposed to just a wall of noise. I will say, though, we listened to a lot of heavy shit this week, and when you hit both Verminous and actually more so Obscene Repressed, they were a bit quieter in the overall production volume, which is, like we talked about, the dynamics in the production, particularly in Verminous. But when Worm came on, it was just fucking loud, and you had to turn it down from where you were.
Everything is dimed, like everything.
It's dimed, but it's not, what's the word I'm looking, peaking.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, clipping and compressing itself. It's just, it walks that threshold. Yeah. It's just very, very loud.
I mean, this is excellent. It's nasty. It's super aggressive. and it gets it out in a way like kind of you'd want from Power Violence. I mean, you get the grind, you get the breakdowns, you get the throat shredding vocals. I mean, there's everything you'd want in here, and it's expertly done. There's nothing wrong with the sound.
And the heft of the production on this works better than anything else they've put out.
Yes.
Like, stylistically, there's not that much that sets this apart probably from some of their other work, but you finally get a production where you're like, oh, it's like, it's extremely loud, as we said, but it's not fatiguing to listen to because it is thin or underproduced or whatever. Like, there's a cleanliness and a heft to this that you're missing on their other releases. So, like, it's finally worthy of being played extremely loud, which works very well for what this is. This is the one that connects for me. This is a 5.
Yes.
Every other one for them has been a 4, but this is one I will definitely be going back
to. Yep, same here.
Rad. All right, so we're going to play the song My Fucking Dixie from Worm off their album Colony Collapse, out on Prosthetic. Check it out.
So that was Worm with My Fucking Dixie, the New South, off of Colony Collapse, out now on Prosthetic. Again, let us know what you think of the album over on our social media or thesideshowpodcast.com. We'd love to chat, especially now that we're all home with a little more free time in our hands. Next, we'll go to Black Label. And this time around, we're checking out the Artisan era. And continuing in the trend from last month, there's not a hell of a lot of information to be found. We're going to dig a little more for next time, but, like, cursory searches show very little information. But they're also not that old of a label. It was created back in 2014. They're based out of Nashville, Tennessee. And according to them, specialize in a diverse range of extreme and progressive music that showcases extraordinary musicianship and focuses on sonic artistry. Accurate, though most of the extreme progressive comes in the form of tech death. Not solely. There's like a Black and Death here. There's a little more some lean a little more in one genre than the other, but we've covered a bunch of Artisan Era releases already. We discussed Dark Matter Secrets, Perfect World Creation, The Last Augury album, In Full Darkness, Equipoise, Flub, which was a favorite of ours. We've talked about Inferi, though I know I looked this up before. We didn't actually we did review them, actually.
Yeah, we did.
They are now home to Inanimate Existence, but we didn't review the releases that Artisan Era put out. So inadvertently, we've come across a lot of their stuff, and for the most part, have enjoyed it. A couple spots have been, again, vary, but we like it. We like Tech Death, so it makes sense. That's where most of the bands I mentioned fall into range of. Some of the outliers would be like Mordant Rapture, which plays a little more. It's like a symphonic black metal. Myth of Eye is instrumental, but is just modern progressive metal. Not quite degent, but very modern progressive. And Wait, which is, we discussed that. That was not long ago, so I'm not going to dive back into that. There are some new releases we may or may not end up checking out or playing for you in the vein of Erroneous or Symbolic, which if you read our website has come up in discussion in the comments. But it's a small label that's not that old that definitely seems to focus on quality over quantity. If you look at their roster, it's not that big, it's not that long. There's not a ton of releases under their belt, but what they do put out is really solid music, generally excellent, though not generally great production, even though it's not the same across the board. Like they had very busy artwork, actually, now that I'm looking at the iTunes, like in grid form. Mm-hmm. A lot of colors, a lot of busy art, but it's good. Like they put out really good packages and good bands. I don't have much else to say at the moment about the label. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, not really, because there isn't a ton of information to be found on it. Other than, as you mentioned, they put out a relatively consistently solid offering, well being maybe not the broadest range of genres. They are one of those labels that when we look at, we're like, oh, this is going to be consistent and well-produced, and, we can usually guess the genre we're going to be getting before we dive into it, which is not a bad thing.
No.
Like, there's nothing wrong with a label knowing how to play to their strengths. When you start spreading out and getting too diverse, we've seen a couple of the bigger labels that started off having, like, more of an identity, grabbing a whole bunch of different bands and changing quality a whole lot. I'm not going to slam any labels here, but we all know a few that we can think of that have done that in the past. There's nothing wrong with a label knowing how to play to their strengths and putting out solid releases and good packages by bands that fit that definition.
Absolutely.
And that is the Artisan Era. That said, the one we're going to play for you is a little different than the normal range we get from them. But
right, and this is a very intentional choice, because we'll play something a little more standard, using air quotes, for the label next time, and again, because we've covered a bunch of it, but to pick out where they're showing a little more of the range of extreme and a little more of the artistry, it's a band called Oubliette, which, by the way, means a secret dungeon with access only through a trapdoor in its ceiling. That is an oddly specific thing to have a word for. Like, I don't know why that exists. Kudos to them for finding it. Oubliette is a melodic black metal band from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Murfreesboro? Okay.
So they have two full-length albums under their belt, the later one from, obviously, the Artisan Era. That album is called The Passage, and we are going to play you the title track. Check it out.
All right, that was The Passage from Oubliette off of Artisan Era, our Black Label pick for this week and next week. Last album we have for you is the latest from Abysmal Dawn with their album Phylogenesis, out on Season of Mist. We have covered these guys once before, all the way back in episode 163 with their album Obsolescence, back when they were on Relapse. This is... God, I hate to not be super positive about it, but this is middle of the road tech death. Like, this didn't leave a huge impression. For the most part, this is a week of threes for me. Solid music that is good, but didn't stand out in any particular way. And other than Worm, which stood out in a whole bunch of ways, and production included in that, everything kind of just was this week. And this fits that as well. Like, there was never a moment listening to it where like, oh, I don't like this, or oh, I need to skip a track or whatever. But nothing about anything that we really listened to besides that this week left me being like, I can't wait to go back and listen to that again. Like, this is technically proficient, well executed tech death. That's a little more on the death than the tech side of
things. Yes.
It's not like super guitar acrobatic heavy ridiculousness. It's just solid, well-written songs. But that it needed something a little more for me. It needed something in terms of a hook, or to be a little bit more melodic, or to be a little bit more extreme, or, you know, like, you would hate this, but it needed like a loud fretless bass dabbling over top of something here or there. It just needed something a little bit more and different at times, because all these songs are, you know, 4+ minutes. You know, they're not super long songs, but they're on the longer side, and they don't necessarily go a whole lot of places. And they're not that different between each track. You know, they needed something a little more. Maybe that's an argument for bands that put in, like, you know, little interstitial filler tracks that may have helped break things up a little bit. Not that we usually enjoy right. those, but it needed something a little more. I don't know what that something should have been, because this is technically proficient, but I just didn't care that much, which is kind of my review of episode 414, apparently, because I just didn't care that much. It's not bad, but I don't know. I probably won't be going back to it a bunch.
That's kind of my review of Abysmal Dawn, like all their albums. It's there. Like, they're the tech... I don't even know if I'd go so far as to call it tech death. They are proficient in playing their instruments. The drumming is probably the most technical aspect of the band. Otherwise, they can, like, you know, they can chug fast and stuff. Like, it's technically proficient. It's the writing is okay. And I think here it actually is probably slightly more diverse than their last album from like 6 years ago. Like, the fact that this band has been absent for so long, they haven't been doing much in between, apparently, to hone their writing. Again, their playing skills are great, and while there's little bits of melody or groovy parts or stuff here and there, none of it stands out, and I think a lot of that falls into the production. The production of this is very flat. Like, everything is the same volume, it sits in the middle of your headphones, the drums have a bit of a whiff to them, especially when you hear the cymbals crashing left and right, but like, everything is even keeled down to the vocals. So whereas I talked about Verminous having, you know, dynamics within the production, this is the exact opposite of that, and I think it's to the detriment, because while there is a little bit of songwriting change up throughout the album, first of all, it's not a lot. The pacing of the album is very limited in its range, but when you add a very flat production to that, it doesn't help. Nothing really stands out so much. So the parts that stand out the most are like in the last two songs, because the lament configuration slows it down a little bit, gets a little bit bigger as it leads into the last track. But by the time that draws me in, the album is literally over.
Right.
So I think their single, The Path of the Totalitarian, shows off the writing diversity the most, especially about a third of the way through the song. It falls in this weird little groove with a fun riff to it, and it comes back to a matching solo later in the song. There needs to be more of that writing with something to make it stand out more. Like, it's a lot of double bass, a lot of driving force. It's they're not a bad band. They're just not a great band. I feel like they are destined to forever be the opener act. It's a shame because they're a band like, I don't know if they need a new member. They need something. I feel like there's this comfort zone they're in. They're on the verge of stepping out of. They can go a little more technical. They can go more groovy. They can throw more of those melodic solos in there. They can do something different to make everything stand out, but it hasn't happened yet. Will it?
Right.
I don't know. There are 5 albums and, like, many years. Let's see. 5 albums and 14 years into their career. So, probably not. But then again, we've seen it with Skeleton Witch. We've seen it with some other bands that hit that breaking point. So, it could happen. I think this is a small step into that direction, but... yeah, it's still just a 3 for now.
Yeah. All right. Well, a slightly underwhelming way to end the episode. Sorry about that. Obviously, check it out. Let us know what you think. Maybe you disagree wholeheartedly. Head over to thesideshowpodcast.com. Leave a comment on the episode. Let us know. You can also find us over on social media. We've been a little bit more active over there as of late. You can find us on Instagram or some on Facebook here and there. That's really it. Feel free to leave us a review on any of your podcast networks, generally Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Click through a link on the sidebar to get to Amazon and buy essential stuff. And we get a little bit of a kickback.
Also, if you want more entertainment and more Nick and Brian, we have resurrected with Mike the podcast Horror Scouts. You guys may or may not remember a couple years ago we had ended a horror movie reviewing and discussing podcast we did. Mike, our friend Mike Clancy, who you know from our end of the year episodes, leads the show.
And all of our artwork
and graphic stuff. He kind of leads the way over there. But we brought that back. We've got 2 episodes up there posted now, and we're trying to post every other week. We promise at least once a month, but it looks like we're, especially being stuck at home, we're on track to do every other week. So definitely go to horrorscouts.com. There should still be a link on our site.
It should be at the bottom of one of the main sideshow pages. There should be a link over to Horror Scouts.
Yeah.
Horrorscouts.com. That is on any podcast streaming network, also on YouTube. Yep. That one is on Spotify, unlike this one.
Yes.
So if you're generally a Spotify user, you can use that. We cannot ever put this one over there because we use licensed music.
Mm-hmm.
And Spotify is really against that. So you won't ever find us there. That is going to do it for episode 414. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. We don't know what we're reviewing yet. We got to go figure that out. So we're going to let you listen to Abysmal Dawn with the song Soul Sick Nation off their album Phylogenesis. And we're going to go figure out what it is we're going to cover. See you in a couple of weeks.
Lost and never found. I'm